All right, good morning, everyone. Thank you for coming. Please feel free to still come up, take a donut if you'd like. Thank you to the Marilis family for sponsoring and for getting the donuts. This week, our story is there's a couple, lived in America, did not have children for many years, and finally HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered their tefillos, and they had one child. They had one boy, and he's getting older. He graduated high school, and he wanted to learn in yeshiva in Israel. And he was very, very close to his parents. His parents were very close to him. And it was very hard for them to let him go, to leave the house, to go to a different hemisphere, a different continent, and to spend so much time away from home learning. But they knew that that was the right thing to do. So they said sure. They said goodbye, and it was very, very hard for them, but they did it. Before he left to Israel, they asked him, and they said, look, one of the most beautiful times during the week that we share with you is at the Shabbos table when you sing Zmiros. Sometimes it would just be him. Sometimes he would invite friends over from high school, and they would really love singing Zmiros with him. And they're obviously not going to have that when he's in Israel. So they said, look, Israel is 6 to 7 hours ahead of us. So after Shabbos for you, can you call us? We obviously are not going to pick up the phone. You'll get the answering machine or voicemail, whatever contraption they had. And you can leave a message and we'll have it on speaker. So we could hear you and you'll sing Zmiros for us and we'll listen. Can you do that every week for us? So they didn't know if that was okay. He didn't know if that was okay. And so they went to ask the Shaila, is that allowed? Are you allowed to intentionally leave a message for somebody where for them it's Shabbos, but for you it's not? Any?
Mashmiya Kol comes to mind. That's only assuming there's another essay in the first place.
Right. Okay. So you're raising a problem, not only restricted to our case, but just in general, which is that there is a prohibition, a rabbinic prohibition of what's called hashma'as kol, which literally means making noise. So it doesn't mean with little kids running around, yelling and screaming. What it means is that if you have a machine, which is not involving any malacha by you turning it on. So, for example, a washing machine. So are you allowed to turn on a washing machine before Shabbos and have it run on Shabbos? So there might not be any actual malacha that you're doing with this machine. The term is that you're supposed to rest, but there's no we paskin, there's a machlokas in the Gemara, but we paskin, we hold, that there's no obligation for your kalim to rest. There's no obligation for your appliances to not do work. The prohibition is for you to do work. Nevertheless, there is a prohibition, a rabbinic prohibition, probably because of Maris Ayin, that we don't want your machines working on Shabbos making a lot of noise. Now, what is a lot of noise? So the standard by most poskim is that if you can hear it in another room, if it's loud enough that you can hear it in another room, then that's a problem. So washing machines generally, at least at some point in the cycle, are louder or can be heard outside the room, unless you have a very, very quiet washing machine. So generally, we say that you cannot turn on a washing machine before Shabbos that will continue on Shabbos, even though you're not doing anything malacha, because somebody could hear it. Yeah.
The washing machine is like very far away or separate. There's no way someone's going to go into that room and hear it, could run it, if like we're not even near it. Or it's the concept that it's possibly making a sound that someone's possibly making.
Yeah, so it's a good question. And there, right, yeah. So if a tree falls in the forest, does anybody hear it? I believe, and again, it might maybe in some extreme needs some poskim are makil, but in general, it's more of the sound. If you put it in a soundproof bunker, then maybe not. But like, if it's just statistically speaking, people aren't generally going to walk there. That's we generally try to still avoid it. If there's an extreme case, then sometimes poskim maybe may kill.
Isn't there a Moshe poskim that one could not put an air conditioner on a Shabbos
car? So I'll tell you this and don't repeat it so much. So when I first learned about the prohibition and the scope of Hashma's call, I asked Rabbi Sabalovsky, he was giving the shiur. I asked him, I said, how do we have air conditioners? How do we have like central air units? Generally, you can hear the compressor outside of the building. In an apartment building, that might be different because there are non-Jews as well. But in a house, if it's just you and someone's walking outside and they hear the compressor fan, so how is that allowed? To which Rabbi Sabalovsky responded, "Don't ask me that question," and moved on. He said, "Don't ask me that," and then he moved on. So yes, it is a question. We don't ask that question. So that is one potential problem. I guess it would depend on how loud the answering machine is. If you have a very loud speaker, then that would be a problem. But let's say it's not. Let's say it's just a normal voice, and you know, it's in a room. Is that allowed? Are there any other issues?
But talking about the speaker, what happens if it's like a speaker that like you could change the volume? So then, because it could be heard, but you could also make it that it couldn't be heard.
Right. Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. Meaning, if you are able to control the volume and you make it low enough so that it's not going to be overheard in the next room, then theoretically there's no problem of Hashma's call. So in that case, what do we think?
No problem.
No problem. So this really...
No problem.
No problem. So this really...
It doesn't depend on intent. For instance, years back, they would allow... Doctors would use the answering machine at home. So if there was an emergency, they would answer the phone. If not, they would hear what the message would be, and they would leave it alone.
Yeah, okay. So you can use the answering machine to screen calls. There's a great Seinfeld episode about that. But the question really boils down to... When we look at a malacha on Shabbos, do we look at the person who's doing the action, or do we look at the result of the action? Generally, it happens at the same time and place. But over here, we've managed to separate it where the person doing the action is not doing anything on Shabbos, but the result is happening on Shabbos. So we don't have that exact case in the Gemara. But the consensus of poskim derived from the Gemara, how we get there is a little bit complicated. I have no time to go into that now. But what they say is that we look at you. What does the Torah say? The Torah says you have to rest. And as we said before, your kelim do not have to rest. So we look at you, and because we're looking at you, there's technically no problem with you making a phone call to somebody where it's Shabbos for them, but not for you. So this comes up a lot in business with tech support. So if you're calling to another time zone, which already has started Shabbos, and those people aren't Jewish, right? So there's no problem for them. Is there a problem for you to talk to them on Shabbos? And the answer is no, because they don't have to keep Shabbos. And for you, it's not Shabbos. So therefore, if you have a call center and you're calling to, I don't know, India or to China or something like that, where they're ahead of us time-wise, so for them it's already Shabbos, but for you it's not, there's absolutely no problem. So what Rav Zilberstein said, that in this case, there is technically no issue whatsoever with doing that. For the kid, it's already Saturday night, it's already Matzei Shabbos, and the parents aren't going to pick up the phone. So there's absolutely no problem assuming that the volume is low enough. That being said, and here's where we get into the very amorphous quality of Shabbosness or Shabbistic. He said, if you're going to do this week in and week out just to make people feel better or just to relieve some homesickness, barring a very, very strong either psychological or health or emotional need, if it's just because they miss their child, says that's not, he didn't think that was enough to cross the threshold for Shabbos sickness. This will be like once, you know, once in a blue moon. So like when my parents would send kids to Israel for the year, so they would tell us, like, if we were going out for Shabbos and it was a tense time, and we weren't part of a school trip, and it was just us going to some friend, they would say, leave us a message when you get back so we know you're okay. So if it's once in a while, maybe that would be different. But to make a plan to do this every single week, he said, unless there's a very strong either medical or psychological or mental health concern, he didn't think that it reached that bar to kind of ruin the Shabbos atmosphere. But I could very well see other poskim disagreeing. Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know how Rav Zilberstein, with respect to him, could measure so amorphously somebody else's psychological mental health need. Sounds like a very not current view of mental health.
Yeah, again, I completely agree that there could be an argument the other way, and I'm working under the assumption Rav Zilberstein is a expert in medical ethics and medical questions, so I'm assuming he did his due diligence when they presented him the Shaila, but I totally could hear another posek saying the other way, saying, look, you're not doing anything wrong. You're augmenting their Shabbos atmosphere. I'm not paskening this for every parent under the sun. This is an only child. They have a very special relationship. So maybe, you know, we're not going to publicize this psak for everybody to use. But for that family, maybe that would be okay. And just to bring out to you guys, that's one of the hardest things about being a posek and asking a shaila is that even though we have certain cut and dry halachos, there are certain more amorphous principles which are very important but are often very case-specific, and you need people with a lot of experience, Yerushalayim, as well as empathy and understanding about the people involved to paskin that shaila. Yeah. Oh, I'll get to you in a sec, sorry. Yeah.
Thanks to technology, we now have some people have the ability to turn on appliances from as far away as you can imagine. So if you ask someone to turn on your oven when it was not Shabbos for them, but it is Shabbos for you, not to cook, but to preheat. Would that be okay?
That is very interesting. So next week we're going to have a part two about this. It'll be somewhat related to that. I think it would be... especially if we're talking about, because it gets into Amira Lanachri problems, if you would be talking to a non-Jew that would be doing it, it could be a problem, but we're Mekel. So wait till next week. It's a complicated case. It's a good question. We'll get to it next week. Yeah.
So piggybacking off of that, the advancements of technology.
Yeah.
So in the last, I don't know, year, 2 years, you can actually now answer a call while someone is leaving a message.
Right.
So while they're leaving the message, while he's leaving the message singing, they could actually pick up the phone and talk to him, which never used to exist. So could that potentially be like putting a stumbling block in front of a blind person because they miss him and they could feel they maybe want to pick up the phone?
Right, I mean, they're asking the shaila, so I'm assuming that they're firm enough not to pick up the phone on Shabbos, even if they miss their kid, if it's not an emergency. But, yeah, I guess if that would be a concern, then I wouldn't allow them to do that. Yeah.
That was kind of my question. I was wondering about the applicability of this psak, which you started to touch on, widely, because I feel like it's leaves that you've there for a lot of people, even if it's not for this particular family. So don't you want to make, like, a little rule? Are you allowed to? I'm always, like, Friday afternoon, I get very nervous about emailing. Because sometimes I work with people who might be Jewish and might answer emails on Shabbos. I feel very guilty, so I try and like not do that.
Yeah, so that's a whole separate sugya in terms of sending emails to somebody who's not from right before Shabbos when you know there's a very good likelihood they'll answer. And had Rav Zilberstein paskins, yes, he can do that. They probably would not have published this in the Sefer and mass produced it. It's a good point. Like, if you genuinely think that there's a concern that the people might be overcome with missing their son and pick up the phone, then that would be a problem. Again, I'm working under the assumption that they asked the shaila, so they're firm enough not to do that, despite the fact that they missed their kid. Yeah.
But also, there's like a thing that like you can turn on, someone can like turn on your lights by like an app. So if that because. With turning on like the light, it like affects you directly because if like you're sitting in that room, right? Like it affects you directly, and like if you ask them for like if for Shabbos, because if someone's like living like in another time zone or whatever, right? It's like after Shabbos for them.
Yeah.
So, like, would that like be okay? Because it's like the lights are going on. You ask them, but also like the lights are going on directly when you're in that room. Like, so it's directly.
So I'm sorry.
So you're saying that somebody says to their kid, like, Shabbos ends for you. Could you please turn my lights on in the den?
Yeah.
It'll be 2 in the afternoon
right.
for me on Shabbos. And that way I'll have
okay.
light in my
head. Okay, yeah. So it is a very good question. And Mirza Hashem, we will talk about it next week, part two. Yeah.
You mentioned that one of the problems could be more assumption.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, in today's environment, we all know that things are automated, it can be delayed, can be. Is this still a more assumption? Is this still a problem? Because we all understand that it could be automated. It doesn't have to be turned down automatically right before it goes.
Yeah, so that gets into a bigger question, which is how far do we have to, you know, because Marisayan means somebody might not fully understand what's going on. And not that they'll suspect that you're doing something that's forbidden, but they just might not understand, or they might think you're actually doing something forbidden. So the question is, how far do we have to go to give people the benefit of the doubt or not? How far am I responsible to make sure that people fully understand the situation? So if they just hear a machine and they hear somebody singing Zmiros on my answering machine, so there could be many possibilities. It could be that the guy is calling from Israel, or it could be that somebody's calling from the same time zone. So the person who's walking by doesn't know that. So I guess I could hang up a sign in front of my house saying, hey, if you ever hear the answering machine and you hear somebody singing Zmiros, by the way, it's not Shabbos for him. And in fact, that's what some people do when it comes to weddings, at least in the olden days, when non-dairy creamers first came out. Rav Moshe said that when you serve non-dairy creamer, you have to put out the bottle, even though the caterers don't like that because it doesn't look so nice, so people know. Nowadays, though, most poskim say it's so ubiquitous, everybody knows about parav stuff, so you don't need to do that anymore. Rav Asher Weiss, though, says that certain soy or plant-based products of like sausage or hamburgers or something like that, that's not as ubiquitous yet, even though they serve them at restaurants. And he says it depends on the community. Like if everybody eats them, so you don't have to. But if it hasn't completely penetrated the frum community where you live, so then you have to be concerned. So I think that this case is not that common. And so I would think that in this case, you would need to do something. And if not, you should be concerned about Marisayan. All right. Have a wonderful week.